Before we dive in, I'd like to give a huge thank you to today's sponsor, Dr. Bradley Nelson, New York Times bestseller author of The Emotional Code and The Body Code, and exciting news. His new book, The Heart Code, is coming out in December. Dr. Nelson's work has helped millions release trapped emotions, unlock healing, and step into their best lives. We're honored to have him to give support to our podcast. And today, I am so excited because The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi has a very special guest on our show. Our guest is Toni Smith. She is the powerhouse behind God Lifted Life. Toni's mission is bold and beautiful to help people rise no matter what throws go into their way. She's there to show you how you could overcome them. And I'm really excited to have her on the show. And Toni, welcome to the show. Please say hello to everyone and tell us a little about yourself and who you serve and what you do and why you do this work. I know I asked you a lot of questions in one thing, but I'm sure you'll be able to fit them all in. So tell everybody about yourself. We want to know.
Hi, everyone. And first, thank you, Stacey, for having me today. I'm excited to be here. First of all, I'm a minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a speaker. I'm an author of several books, one being How I Survived When My Son Was Shot and Left to Die. And the other is Worry About Nothing, Pray About Everything, among several. I'm an entrepreneur. And I also have workshops that help leaders and CEOs and individuals to overcome stress and to boost productivity.
You know, when you mentioned about how your son got shot and how you learned to overcome that, I can't even imagine that call that you must have got, and you answered the phone and you got that news. That is overbearing. I just don't know how I would handle that, because I as you're saying that, I'm trying to put my children in my head and imagine, if that was me, how would I feel? Can you tell us a little about what happened and how you actually were able to emotionally overcome and move forward? Because that's traumatic for both your son, you, and everybody around you who knew him and loved him.
Yes, it's a traumatic thing. It's something that a mother never wants to hear. It's a phone call that's devastating. So he was shot several times, and that's all I knew until I got to the hospital. And Stacy, just so the audience knows, my son did survive. What happened? We were ushered into a small room and a waiting room, and the doctor came in and he let me know that one of the bullets, the way he described it, he said barely missed his vocal cords, barely missed his spine, and barely missed his heart. And I was trying to digest that, all of these barely missed, and he was, describing to me the surgeries that were going to have to be done. One of the bullets severed a main artery that takes the blood from the heart throughout the rest of the body. And when I got to see my son, his chest was, I looked like, like he was pregnant in his chest. But he had multiple surgeries. And as I said, thank God he survived. And it was a long road to recovery. And in those moments and days and weeks that passed, I was just in prayer and reading scriptures and just encouraging myself, encouraging my husband, encouraging my son and those around me. I found strength in God. Just in my faith was increased during this time because there were so many different reports that came to me about different areas of his body that were affected. And I had to pray like never before. I had to trust God like never before. And I had to find somewhere inside of myself to run a business, be there for my son day in, day out, going through physical therapy, surgeries, and all of that. But I want the audience to know that your trauma does not have to be the same as mine. It was a winter experience, a Christian winter that I went through. But you need to know that God will meet you right in that place where you are, where you feel like you cannot go on. Some days I literally did not feel like I knew my name, but God, he just came in and he did so many miracles. He healed my son's body completely. We were told that, he wasn't going to be able to move his arm. He wasn't going to have the use of one of his arms. We prayed and prayed and cried out to God, and he totally healed his arm. He totally healed all of the parts of his body that were, we were told he had a chunk of bone missing from his foot. And we carried him in one day, and we thought we were going to have multiple reconstructive surgeries on his foot. And one day he called screaming, "Mama, come in." And I ran to him, and I felt the place where the chunk of bone was missing, and there was cartilage. It filled in. Just to tell you the miracles, signs, and wonders, and that's one of the captions on the book. Miracles, signs, and wonders that God performed just for me and for him and for our family. And I want other families and people, mothers, to know, fathers, sisters, brothers, because this affected our entire family. And it affected my son, and God sustained my business as well. And I want CEOs, managers, business owners to know when things come in your personal life or things go on, even in business, that cause struggle or something that's difficult to get through, that there are strategies for stress relief. And I found that through my faith in God. He's led me to emotional intelligence or learning how to manage your stress. And I think a lot of people could benefit from this. Like I said before, you may not have the same thing happen. I pray no one else has to ever experience what we did. But other things, the loss of loved ones, loss of even a job can be stressful. Relationships can be stressful. But learning how to manage your stress and to manage the things that are going on so that it won't lead down the road to depression and other things going on.
So many people go through so many traumatic events, and even, one thing I've learned too is that someone might look at something you're going through and say, "Ah, that's nothing." But to that person, the world feels like it's falling apart. Everyone takes different things differently. And everyone goes through stress in life at some point in life. We all have traumatic events that happen in our lives, obstacles that enter our lives. Sometimes, all of a sudden, you think everything's going great, and then one day, boom, something happens and it can change your life forever. Now, you mentioned that you had some strategies of ways of coping with stress. Can you share just some techniques and some things that you have experienced, some strategies that have had a huge impact on dealing with stress? Because so many people out there, that's one of the biggest things people, battle with, is how to deal with stress.
Yes, and especially in this society where we have so much the social media, we're always busy, and we're looking for likes for teenagers, and but the first thing I tell anyone is that you have to recognize that you are stressed. I had to recognize at different points that this is stressful. This is something that is bothering me. Because so many times people don't even admit it because there's stigma on, being diagnosed with anxiety or depression. And we don't really want to say, oh, we want to just kind of go through it, go through the motions and say, oh, I can make it, I can make it. The first thing is to recognize that there is something going on. The second thing I would say is mindfulness, to meditate, to get quiet. That will calm and soothe your soul. That will calm down your racing thoughts and, kind of slow down your emotions. Personally, my favorite is Philippians: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ." We need all of those things to come together to guard our hearts and our minds. And as I read the scripture, I began to slow down. There's just any time that I'm feeling stressed or anxious or anything that comes up. If deep breathing helps you, I suggest that you sit calm, calm down your soul, slow down the thoughts and the feelings and emotions that are going through. And if you can take your mind off of the problem, which is, easier said than done, but you sit and you think, okay, what do I have to be grateful for today? What is going on good in my life? And even if you have to meditate on something that you want God to do for you or that you wish you could experience, that will slow down the anxious thoughts. And then going further, you have to initiate some self-care. And a lot of times, as ladies, we say, oh, I'm going to get a massage or I'm going to get my nails done. That's part of self-care. Just taking care of yourself and your mind. We think of it sometimes as, oh, we're going to look cute and get our nails. But you think about it, when you go to get a pedicure, you're sitting, you're calm, your feet are in the water, you feel the water. So you take time to feel what's around you. If you're an outdoors person, which I am, I go outside sometimes and I tell myself, just don't think of anything. Listen to the birds, listen to nature. And that will calm your, it will calm you down and make you slow down a bit because now we're just so busy, busy, busy. I need to do this, I need to do that. And we never really take the time to look at what our needs are. What do I need to get through the day? Just to sit calmly, even throughout the day at work, to sit and think and take care of yourself. Go horseback riding or swimming, something that you can do for self. We mentioned getting a pet or a dog. If you don't want to own one, go to the zoo if you like animals or fish, something to slow your thoughts and to then embrace what you like. I found that exercise helps. If you have issues with your knees, some people say, well, I can't, ride the bike like you do, or I have knee issues or I have hip issues. Whatever you can do to start moving, and just kind of get your heart rate up a little, that helps in stress relief. So there are a lot of practical things that we can do that sometimes we may not think about readily that really help. And it makes all the difference in the world if during part of your lunch hour you sat and just cleared your mind. Mindfulness, just sitting, you will be surprised at the feeling that you get from that. Sometimes I would go and sit at the river and just, listen to the water, look out at the river, and it just calms my soul, my thoughts, and it eases, So those are some of the things. But I offer sessions, individual sessions, for these strategies. I will do sessions, and I also offer group sessions as well as for corporations. You can book any of those types of sessions from my website, which is godliftedlife.com.
I love that. I love that domain, that URL. It's inspiring just to hear its name. Now, you say that business success doesn't pause for heartbreak, trauma, or tragedy. What's a moment in your journey that tested this belief, and how did it keep you moving? Besides the moment of your son's, tragic moment when he got shot, what were other things in life that kind of tested you, and how did you move forward?
There was a time that my husband and I were actually helping to take care of his mother, and it was very stressful time for him. I, of course, being a spouse, I had to be there for him, and also for her, taking her to her doctor's appointments, making sure that someone on my staff was actually going to take care of her. her, you know, some of her needs and everything. And it was a very stressful time because I had to help him out. He was working, I was running a business, and a lot of times I had to leave my business and go in and help check on his mom and things of that nature. It was a very trying time, and just managing that stress because I was the person that he looked to and, you know, talked to when different things were going on concerning her health. He confided in me, and you know, it just kind of compounded all already with the things that was going on at the business, and you can't just drop, you know, the business. And I had to figure out different strategies and ways to handle that. So I incorporated scripture, my faith, and prayer, and mindfulness, and take and having to learn to take care of myself, because there are a lot of people who are out here taking care of loved ones, whether it's a mother or father, or you know, a different person in their family, or just a friend that they're taking care of. You have to realize that you have to be taken care of as well. You have to take care of yourself. Your mental health is very important, because you can get lost in taking care of someone else and forgetting yourself, and you can't effectively take care of that person without taking care of yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. And I hear from so many people, you know, when I spoke to them, they felt shameful to take care of themselves before they took care of somebody else. But, you know, you can't take care of others if you can't care for yourself. If you're not in 100% stand-in, how are you going to take care of somebody else?
Exactly. You know, that a lot of diseases come from that as well. High blood pressure, you know, running around and trying to make sure, because, you know, especially if this is a parent that you're taking care of or a child. I've known of friends who, you know, had to take care of a child, a sick child, and it's stressful, and you feel like you want to do everything you can, and they weren't getting, you know, proper rest. That's part of self-care. They weren't exercising or taking a walk or even listening to music and relaxing. And if you don't, you'll end up, you know, causing something to go on in your body because of just neglecting yourself.
You know, when, you know, 100% of illnesses are caused by stress. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we're just breaking the walls of our immune system. And, you know, once those walls are broken, we're basically opening the door and saying, come on, illness, you know, come and get me. I'm free, you know, and you can really get anything, you know, because you're not caring for yourself first. It's so true. It's so true. Now, when life hits you hard, what are the first three practical steps that you recommend so entrepreneurs don't lose that momentum?
I would say when life hits you hard, hit back harder.
I like that.
Some of the practical steps that I would say is to make an assessment, a real assessment of your emotions and your feelings. So my first thing is to pray. I get to myself and I spend some time in prayer and reflection. Reflection helps me not to own all of the responsibility of whatever's going on, or feeling that woe is me. You can reflect and not get into the, oh, you know, this is happening to me. Why is this going on? But to hit it head on, I pray, I assess, and I thank God. And when I start reflecting, I'm like, you know, I can do this. I can go ahead. And then I think of practical ways to move forward instead of looking back at what happened and why this is not, you know. And I try to always stay positive, and know that whatever is going on, I can get through it. And I would say to just stay positive, know that you can get through it. And with God and your faith and prayer, you can get through it.
I agree. You know, positivity and faith really brought me through all the struggles in my life. If I didn't have that in my life, I don't think I would have been able to overcome, you know, the things I went through in life. And that's so true. So true. So how can leaders honor real emotions without letting their business fall behind? What boundaries and rhythms actually work?
The boundaries and rhythms, I would say, always maintain the professionalism, no matter what is going on in your personal life, maintain your professionalism. And in my practice, I don't let on that there's anything any different going on, because when managers that are running the business while you're not there, here and there, if you're telling everybody what's going on with your personal life, things become a little murky. I would keep everything professional, not even discuss. And if it's something that they do know about, I would not discuss it with any of the managers or any individuals that you work with. And just get to yourself, even throughout the day, if you have to practice some strategies to decrease stress, just self-management, mindfulness. Walking, exercising, listening to music, something that will calm your thoughts and your soul down, just to do that. And sometimes you may find yourself having to do that several different times throughout the day. Just take time for yourself, and everything else will fall into place because you know what you're doing. Don't lose your confidence in what you're doing and what you know to do professionally. You're in that position for a reason, and always remember that. Because sometimes it's difficult to maintain the thought process and to have that confidence, because you know that behind the scenes things are going on in your life, but you don't have to express it around people that you work with. Now, I would suggest that you have someone, a support system, someone or some people that you can talk with. Could be a relative, it could be clergy, a minister, pastor, someone that you can call on. But again, I would not discuss those kinds of things in the work environment.
I like that advice. That's great advice because that's something some people do, and it can really cause it changes the relationship.
It does.
And sometimes it's,
They see you in a different light. They see your weakness, and sometimes, later on down the line, you'll hate that you did that, because it can be exploited in different ways that you're not thinking about at the time.
Now, what's a system or habit that you can lean on in tough seasons? Morning routine, team cadness, or decision-making filter that keeps results on track?
In business, okay. Routine in my business is always we would have a team huddle sometimes, and we would pray and let different people decide whatever they wanted to pray about, if they wanted to have a scripture that they talked about or just spoke, and just something positive to come together with. And then when I would start my own, I would sit and just kind of remind myself of what is important in my life. That keeps me on track. It may sound like a little, cliche to someone, but when you think about what are the important things, the most important things in your life, once you start, begin your work day, it kind of gets me on track and says, these are the things that are important. Of course, my business is important, but what is the most important to me? I put God first, family, and then this business comes in. So when I put that into perspective, I have a better outlook on my entire day.
That's great advice. What would you say to the listener who feels guilty stepping back or equally guilty pushing forward?
Stepping back as far as stepping down in work environment, or stepping back in a work environment is not bad at all, especially when you've already began grooming someone or someone that you have a bit of trust in your corporation or in your company, or even as a manager, if there's someone under you that you have kind of groomed a little bit. We all will have those people that are hard workers or who have exemplified, to be loyal and dedicated. So stepping back is a sign of strength, is not a sign of weakness in my eyes, especially, like I said, if you've groomed someone that you know what you can delegate and what you can't. In my situation, I had to do that. There was a particular person that I thank God even now that he pretty much pushed me to kind of teach this person some things that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise had done, but I taught them quite a bit, and they didn't have to do it all. But gradually, they were showing me that different aspects of the business they were able to handle well before anything occurred. And when this did happen in my life, I had that person that I could call on. And in turn, the person learned from me that, hey, I need to kind of have someone under me that I can trust to do some of these duties that I have so that I can delegate if I need to. And that person had been teaching others as well. And as the Lord would have it, I had to pull back because daily I did not leave my son's side. So I was still, responsible for everything going on in the business. I was able to, do some things remotely, but that really helped. So I would say stepping back, even if you don't have anything that happens, a tragedy, stepping back sometimes is part of self-care. Give yourself time to breathe, not to feel like everything is on you, and it shouldn't be. That should be a business practice anyway. And sometimes, more often than not, business owners tend to do all of the work. They do everything and they're afraid to trust someone to delegate. So you have to, that comes with prayer and, seeking God on, having wisdom on who you can trust. But I didn't feel guilty about it. I was just really grateful that I could do that. And then sometimes in stepping up, if you don't have that and you don't feel comfortable and you don't feel that you're in a safe place, then I would say trudge forward. But at the same time, you still need to practice mindfulness, meditation, I would say, and anything that calms your soul, doing some self-care. It's very important, especially if you're trying to do everything yourself and there's no one else that you feel like, oh, I can't trust anybody else to do this part of it or that part. Don't get so caught up in the day-to-day that you don't take time for yourself.
I love that answer. Now, you recently published a book called Worry About Nothing, Pray About Everything. Can you tell us a little about that book?
That book, Worry About Nothing, Pray About Everything, you can find it on Amazon.com, and the author, Tony B. Smith. That book has humor. There's a lot of strategies and practical ways to worry about nothing and pray about everything. There are prayers also in the book for different things and nuances that happen in our lives in daily life, from business to family, even family structure issues, things that go on that can stress you, no matter what it is, relationship issues, financial issues are even in the book to tell you how to de-stress and be more productive in those areas. Of finances and relationships, and different types of relationships, mother son, mother daughter, spouse relationships. So there are different situations that I look at in the book that you have humor, and then, like I said, prayer and scriptures to help you through that.
Oh, I love that. Now, you've been such a powerful author. Like, you've written nonfiction, you've written fiction books. Can you tell us a little about the books that you've written in the past and what motivated you to write these books?
My first the debut book is His Eye Is on a Sparrow. That was about it's a coming of age novel about a young lady who goes through a very difficult childhood. She experiences abuse in different ways. It talks about her finding friendships, being able to discuss what's going on in her life in different ways with different adults. And then as she gets older and how she allows God to heal her wounds and the different things and be able to forgive, it speaks of forgiveness. And it's a powerful book about just having relationships with friends and family and being able to overcome what this young lady had gone through as a child.
I love that. I love
Yeah.
that.
Now, the other book, it's a fiction book. It's called Hips, Lips, and Relationships. And this book is a funny, it's hilarious. has a lot of humor in it, and it's just about different things that go on in Christian circles. Different things that happen in churches, it's life, even though you go to church and you figure, oh, none of these things are probably going on, with Christian families or people that go on. So there are a lot of funny little things that go on that it, talks about in that book. Relationships, even friendships that go on, and then there are some relationships that should not have gone on in the church.
Right. Oh, I
But
love that.
yes. So the other book that we did talk about, the Worry About Nothing, Pray About Everything. So there's also a book of prayers that they're prayers for different situations, different needs, from financial to business to friendships to marriages, just prayers that readers can hold on to and pray over their lives and over their circumstances and find faith and hope and love. The other one is a prayer journal that goes along with the Worry About Nothing, Pray About Everything. So it's an interactive journal. It's not just a book with blank pages. There are scriptures there, and there are certain places there that says, well, I am grateful about this. And you write the things that you're grateful for. You say, I want to pray for these people, and you put your prayer points. There are places where you pick a scripture, and you stand on that scripture and write different things that come up in your life that you overcome reading those scriptures. So,
I love it. I love it. Now,
and all of
recognize.
these you can find on Amazon, Amazon.com, and under Tony B. Smith.
I was just going to ask you that. That's great that you answered that. Yes, because I love when books are on Amazon because it's so easy to get them and and find them, and they could just type in your name and boom, all your books come up. And I also, you have such wonderful services that you provide. Can you tell everybody about the different services that you provide?
Yes, I provide workshops that could be from CEOs to secretaries. Just workshops about relieving stress, the different strategies you can use, and for businesses, how to boost your productivity in ways that sometimes it blows their minds. I've even discussed something that the United States was thinking about, well, some of the companies here was thinking about, but they're doing it in Europe, the 4-day work week. So I've done a lot of research on the 4-day work week, and surprisingly, some companies have had great success doing that, where it reduces stress and it increases productivity. A lot of people, the self-care, you can't imagine having, when you have to schedule a doctor's appointment around your work schedule, you have to go after 5 or 4, but when you implement a 4-day work week, it just opens up an area for a lot of self-care and different things that people would love to do with their families. Maybe a trip or going down to the beach and not having to worry about using your PTO and your sick days to do that. And I also provide workshops for just small intimate groups who just want to learn how to de-stress and relax and then live the life that you were intended to live. That's what we all want to get to live that life where we're not saying that you won't have problems, you won't have issues and circumstances that come up. But if we could learn how to relax and let go, it's hard to let go. And then, your faith comes in. So I infuse my faith with the practical strategies to use to be able to get to that point of being able to relieve stress.
I love that. I love that. Now, if you had to take today's conversation, you wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some of the things that you want our listeners to walk away with?
I want you to walk away with the point that you don't have to live with the stress that you're living with, that may take you down a road of depression and other things, that your mental health is worth stopping and attending to it. Don't be afraid to or don't have the stigma or think that there's something wrong when you feel like you need to talk to someone. I'm not
Right.
a therapist, so I always say that I'm not a therapist. And if you need a therapist, I say seek a therapist. But there are practical ways that some everyday things that you can do to help relieve the stress and to just boost your productivity all the way around. And that's with your family. Things that you would like to do, you may want to take up baking or things, and you feel like I just don't have time to do these things. I'd like to show you practical ways to live your best life and
Yes.
not feel guilty for doing it, that
Yes.
you won't miss out on being productive in business or on your job or with your kids. And I'd like to leave you with knowing that there is hope and joy to have a life filled with joy.
Oh, that. I love that. This has been amazing. Now, before we go, just one more time, tell everybody your URL so they remember it.
You can find me at www.godliftedlife.com. And my business side of that for businesses is Lifted Life Business Development. You can also see that on the website. You can find my books on Amazon.com. They're also on the website, again, www.godliftedlife.com. You can also find me on Instagram, godliftedlife. At God Lifted Life, you can find some of my videos and inspirational teachings on YouTube and at God Lifted Life. Also, I'm on LinkedIn as well.
I love it. I love it. This has been amazing. And I hope you'll join us again because I know you have a lot of insight on healing and post-traumatic stress disorder. And you have a lot of different areas that you specialize in that you could share with the audience and help them in those areas. So I hope you'll be back on this show. But I have to say, this has been a very enlightening show. I think your wisdom is wonderful. I thank you so much for sharing your story about you and your son. You know, sometimes sharing stories can be very hard. People don't realize it. But when we share stories that, you know, really are to the heart, it sometimes could be very difficult to, you know, relive them by sharing them with a large audience of people and even a small audience of people. So I thank you so much because, you know, you really give the gift of hope and you really show people that anything is possible. And, you know, you shared a lot of different things today, like with stress, you know, something that holds a lot of people back and really makes people stuck in life. And like you said, can cause illness. You know, you share a lot of different strategies and you opened up people to a lot of different ideas today. And I want to thank you so much for just
Thank
being
you.
yourself and sharing your knowledge and your strategies to help people out there that need your help. So once again, I'd like to thank you for being on our show. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and just thank you for being you because you are a very special person, and I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you. I'd love to return again.
I would love to have you again. And for anybody who's listening today, I'd just like to invite you to follow us. And for future episodes, we'd love to have you and we want to help you. So don't forget to follow us. And we will love to see you next time. And once again, thank you, Tony. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Stacy.